6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another prediction show here on Fightful. It's me, Stephanie Chase, and today I'm talking about WWE Backlash with Maggie, who's finally joining me. Hi, Maggie.
Hi, sweetie. I'm so glad to be finally joining you. Stephanie and I did talk, before the show because we were finally able to sync up. We were talking about, doing past shows. I couldn't do it at a certain time. She wasn't available at my time. So it was a whole different mess. And now we're finally able to do so. I'm so happy to be here.
Finally. I've just noticed you're wearing a Daria t-shirt, are you?
I am wearing a Daria t-shirt.
Amazing.
I'm so happy that someone knows about Daria. This is so cool. I love Daria. It was the best thing on MTV at that certain time. Mm-hmm. And the weirdest thing is I had forgotten all about Daria, which is sad because it's a wonderful, wonderful cartoon series. And then Delta got signed to WWE and they called her Zarya. And I'm like, oh my God, Daria. And
that's just ridiculous.
I immediately thought of Daria and I started watching Daria again. And I'm like, yeah, I remember why I love the show so much. And I bought a t-shirt.
That's so cool. Oh, I love it. There's a lot of YouTube videos about Daria now, like video essays on Daria, people going through episodes of Daria. So if you want more Daria content, I've watched quite a few YouTube videos about Daria. Such a great show. I don't know if I want it rebooted, but I want more Daria.
I want more Daria, but let's, like, if you guys have watched X-Men 97 that got, rebooted last year, if you're gonna make a reboot, make it this way, like with the old school animations, none of the 3D crap. Yeah. No. I want the old school animations, and Jane Lane was so cool, man. She was the best, man. I wanted short, dark hair because of her, and I did do it. That was a mistake. But, like, it was the best thing. If we ever got Halloween, I would have dressed like Daria Morgendorfer every year.
Wow.
Every year.
Oh, God.
She's the best.
Well, that's such a great trip. Maybe we should do a Daria podcast one day.
We should. God, I love that show.
Yeah, awesome. Well, this is not a Daria Daria retrospective, but thanks, everyone. And if you haven't seen Daria, go watch Daria. And you can watch some of it ahead of WWE Backlash, which takes place, I tried to put them together, but they don't work, which takes place this Saturday. And we're going to be predicting it. I want to hear your predictions in the chat. It is a 5-match show, so we're here for a good time, not for a long time. But I am very excited to get into this card, and we are going to do that. But first, let's hear from our sponsors at betonline.ag.
By now, you guys know how much I love BetOnline. Every betting odds that we have ever had on Fightful, whether it be MMA, boxing, pro wrestling, come from BetOnline.ag. We've given you guys a ton of great underdog picks, but you know what? They got so much more to offer at BetOnline.ag. The earliest lines, the fastest payouts, the industry's best bonuses at BetOnline.ag. They've been trusted for over 25 years by millions of people because of their safe and secure environment, their high credit card acceptance, and their payouts in minutes. But it doesn't end there. Baseball, basketball, fighting, soccer, or football, whatever you want to call it, BetOnline has you covered. Not just that, incredible games. Blackjack, roulette, Golden Dragon, Inferno. BetOnline has it all for you. Your one-stop shop, and this is not a fly-by-night operation. They've been around for 25-plus years, giving you the goods. Go make yourself some money. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can.
BetOnline.ag. So it is WWE Backlash. It is the first pay-per-view since WrestleMania. I kind of felt watching, when I was watching Raw on Monday, I kind of felt like the stuff I was most excited about isn't on Backlash, like the people I were most excited about. But that kind of happens when you get these like five-match shows. But I am still looking forward to the event. What's your vibe on it, Maggie? How are you feeling?
Okay, so I know it's a pay-per-view, a premium live event or whatever, you know, you want to call it. I know it is, and I'm supposed to be excited about it. I'm not, but somehow those types of shows always deliver because I have zero expectations about them, and I don't go into, you know, the show prematurely expecting awesome things to happen, and I just go with it and I just sit down and watch it. I am looking forward to Becky and Lyra a lot, but last year's Backlash was in France, right?
Backlash France.
And this was something extremely special, and
that's where everyone learned Randy Orton's theme tune.
Exactly. And that's where in my point of view, guys, I've been pretty vocal on our show with Rob about this. I have not been the biggest Cody Rain fan. His reign was so disappointing for me. The win was so high.
Yeah.
And then everything spiraled down from me. And in Backlash in France was where his only amazing defense was against AJ Styles, and that crowd went insane for AJ.
Yeah.
And I cried. So they, you know, for me, it was as if they set the bar. And before that, Puerto Rico did with their show. So international pay-per-views are always something special, and the fact that it's not an international pay-per-view right now, it's in the States, so it's just a bit of a bummer.
I feel like doing an international event straight after WrestleMania would be such a good idea, but they spent so much time in the UK before WrestleMania, like to the point where you kind of got sick of them being in the UK, like I certainly did. It's like they were there again, that I feel like that's why they picked the US for this one. But I do agree, like when you go in with low expectations, like these can be the pay-per-views that really surprise you. So it's good for them that we're going in with low expectations. It is in St. Louis, Missouri, which I think I've been to. Yeah, I'm not right. I really think I went to an AEW event there last year. Was there an AEW? Was it Dynasty was in Missouri? Let me see. Yeah, it was. Okay. I have been to Missouri, St. Louis, Missouri. That was, AEW Dynasty last year. Yeah, I definitely go to too many places if I can't remember that. because I remember being there. The only thing I knew about St. Louis was that Randy Orton was from there.
So you actually had to check if you
had been to Missouri. I did have to check. It was really nice. Let me say, like, it was really, really nice. I had a lot of fun there. But I think I get it mixed up with Ohio, which I've also been to for SummerSlam. I think it's just because they're like two places that I never thought of going to until there were events. But it was, I remember it being very nice in St. Louis, Missouri. that's my memory of it. Oh, now I remember thinking about how that's where wrestling from the Chase was back in the day, and thinking that I should find some way to, you know, make some content out of that and not actually doing it. So that's my other memory of Missouri. But anyway, Maria said awesome wrestling crowds. Yes, they did have a great crowd at that Dynasty. Yes. What is your question?
So because it's kind of bugging me out. So because of all the events that WWE had in the UK, mm-hmm. now American crowds started chanting in very European style. And does this bother you? Because it bothers me. It bothers me so much. I hate it. They're trying to take something from us, and I will not stand for it. Stop it. It's what makes us special. You guys do your own thing with the, this is awesome. No, like, you know, especially UK crowds are something phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Let them have this. What? Mm-hmm.
I think it is definitely, they're imitating the hot crowds from the UK, but they can't get it right because the UK crowds, they're pretty funny, the UK crowds, and they feel more spontaneous. But I think it is, a way of mimicking it. But I can't say that I totally hate it, because sometimes it gives atmosphere to stuff that could be kind of dead without it, you know. But yeah, I think it is certainly what the European, mostly UK crowds are famous for. And now it's gone all over. But sometimes crowds are just like too much chanting in a match does annoy me.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. But like if it's something supporting, you know, the players and everything, for instance, mm-hmm. last year when I was at RevPro, mm-hmm. and Zack Sabre Jr. was fighting Hechicero. Yeah. And the crowd just couldn't stop. And they went, you won the G1. Da, 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 da. You won the G1. Da, 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 da. And I'm like,
American
crowds will never do that because they lack imagination of European football.
Yeah, because it's such a football thing that, you know, that's where they're taking it from. And it's such a different culture in America to how it is like in the UK, and that's something they really bring is unique. But if you go somewhere like RevPro, like to an indie show in the UK, like the chants are even better than stuff that they would end up doing, you know, in WWE or AEW stuff. Like indie crowd chants are very, very fun.
Absolutely.
Shall we get into it for Backlash?
Absolutely. Yes.
All right, let's start with the Intercontinental Championship. We have Dominic Mysterio, Dirty Dominic versus Penta. Okay, this one I am excited for. I really love Dominic. That's not a hot take anymore. I love him. I was so happy for him at WrestleMania when, even though he shouldn't be cheered because he's a heel, but it just felt like everyone was just letting out the kind of like, hey man, you've been like the best heel, and we're really proud of you. You know, we really do like you. And I think that, you know, Penta, he hasn't been here long. And obviously his brother Phoenix joined. I think that Penta has done really well. And I think he's going to be fine. I can't see him winning this. I'm going to pick Dominic. They can't take that title off Dominic, especially now they know how much support he has behind him. So I'm really looking forward to kind of the arc that he'll continue going on and what it leads up to. And Penta, I think Penta can take a loss because I see him as a guy that's just always going to put on like great matches. He will eventually win an Intercontinental title. You know, he will be in that spot. But right now, Dominic is the guy. How do you feel, Maggie?
I think, well, Sean says something that is incredibly true. People at some point are going to love to cheer for Dominic.
Yes.
And that time is coming. It's almost here anyway. I mean, at WrestleMania, people were so happy that he won that he had to get back in the ring and continue celebrating with the crowd. That was the best thing.
It was so cute. Like, it was kind of cute that it was as if he was like, oh, are they doing this for me? Should I go back? Yeah, okay. Like, it was really cute.
He didn't expect it. You can see that he was surprised himself. So I love that for him. I mean, I've said it on our show. I'll be the first one to admit Dominic has improved immensely. And I feel like you should always reward hard work, and you should reward, you know, building over yourself and his gotten into tremendous shape. And second of all, justice for Dominic, okay? He asked, like, Liv Morgan asked for time off because she was shooting a video. And Nick Aldis, the superior GM, by the way, he was like, yeah, okay, sure. And then Dominic, right in the same shot, it's not at a different time of the show. It's not a different show. It's not a later on in the show. It is the exact same scene backstage. And he was like, yeah, can I have time off? And Nick Aldis was like, well, you're a champion. Now you need to, you know, act like a champion. You just gave Liv Morgan time off.
No. Bias. Nick Aldis is jealous of Dominic Mysterio and his swag, I think that's what it is. It is. It is wild that Liv got the time off with the titles, and then per Dom has to work. I do wonder, like, if they are, you know, the story that they're kind of doing is like he has won the championship, but he's like maybe not mature enough for it. And maybe this match will be like a real like test for him to take that responsibility, which would be why he was asking, you know, for time off. But I think he's definitely going to win. And I do really like about him, there are a lot of heels in the modern era that really want to be cool, and they get cheered because they're cool, and all they care about is their, you know, cool cred. And Dominic just 100% like leaned in to being this like absolute uncool slimeball character. So the cheers for him are totally organic. So I can't hold it against him that he's getting those. I do think he's great.
He is great. And not only is he did put in the work, but I kind of feel like WWE have been a bit lazy when they're booking their baby faces and everything, and just the crowd starts cheering for the the heel characters because they're more evolved, like they have storyline,
more dimensions to the heels always.
Yeah, they're not two dimensional, and they have a rich backstory in which you can cling on to, whilst the baby faces are like, I mean, I'm so glad that Lyra has finally getting something to talk about, man.
Yes,
but we will get into that later. But yes. I do agree with you, Dominic will be leaving. I expect a bunch of shenanigans. This will not be a clean win.
Yeah. Well, Fernando says, I think Finn turns on him very soon and it becomes a baby face. I see that being Dominic's path to being a baby face. Yeah.
Yes. This is how you baby face Dominic.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're both got Dominic for that one. Up next, we have the United States Championship. It's four-way. We have Drew McIntyre, Damian Priest, LA Knight, and the champion, Jacob Fatu. Who have you got for this one, Maggie?
Well, if it was any other champion, if Jacob Fatu wasn't champion here, I would have had Drew McIntyre, because I can't give Drew McIntyre his flowers. He had an awesome win at WrestleMania. Just give the, he doesn't get, even if he was a double champion, he wouldn't be getting the flowers he deserved whatsoever, because his match with Damian Priest at WrestleMania was awesome and no one's talking about it.
It was so good. It was really good.
No one was talking about it because WrestleMania was so bad. And
it was before that show went off a cliff. Those were the good times.
So if it were any other champion, I do feel like, because Jacob Fatu, now that he's champion, he has the opportunity to actually cut promos on the microphone, which he's a talker, man. If you haven't been watching other wrestling apart from WWE, you would have zero knowledge for anything that Jacob Fatu can do on a microphone. I do feel like he needs to go into a program with Solo Sikoa next, into SummerSlam, I would suppose, for that championship. But yeah. I'm pretty convinced that he's leaving as champion.
Me too. I think it's it has to be Jacob. I think he's someone they can't beat right now. he just won the title. People love him too. So I do see a program with Solo coming for SummerSlam. That would be good. I think we're just in an endless thing of trying to get something for Drew McIntyre to do that's big enough. And it's not this. It's not being in a multi-man. And I don't want to see him in Damian Priest again. And I'm not really interested in LA Knight. But yeah, for me.
Right? Were you ever interested in the guy?
No, I wasn't. Thank you. Okay. I appreciate what he does. I get why, you know, obviously the crowd likes to do his catchphrase, all of that. I get that he sells a lot of merch, but for me, like, he's not a wrestler that I would kind of cling on to. I don't think he has the best matches. You know, I don't think he performs the best in the ring, but he can make up for it, you know, with the talking of catchphrases. But I'm more of a Jacob Fatu style girl than an LA Knight girl, if you know what I mean. Like, more someone like him I prefer. But I think there's no way Jacob's not walking out of this champion. I think, because it seems so obvious, I am most interested in if they can set up anything for Drew here, or what Drew does next, because like you said, Drew still has not got the flowers accolade that he deserves for all the amazing stuff he's done, especially his CM Punk feud and keeping that going and everything with Damian. Drew's just been the best overall performer in WWE for like over a year now, and he's not got the title.
I still feel like they owe him big time.
They do.
Because of that awful sing-along that he did.
That was one of the worst things they have ever done.
What the hell was that? And why am I watching? And no, you're not off the air. We can still see you. That was, I mean, can we get...
But I think, and I kind of wrote about this once, that like period, like week period, is a really pivotal moment in recent U.S. wrestling history, because that's the brawl out. The same time as brawl out is when Drew does the sing along, and then if you think about what Drew and Punk did in WWE, like that like couple of days is a real moment. It's almost like a sliding doors moment. Like, what if Drew had never had to sing with, and it was with Bloody Tyson Fury as well.
Yes.
When they were trying to push Tyson Fury on us. But like that, and then what Punk did in AEW, and it was just like this time where like both these guys had something quite significant happen to them, but we didn't know that they would go on to like have this program together, which was like such a great program. And as much as I love Punk, I think that Drew like outclassed him, you know, in that feud because he was so good. But yeah, it's like funny that you bring that up, him singing along, because like people they've kind of been able to like slightly erase that from people's memory a bit, but
no,
he
never
used that as like ammo to like it's one of the worst things they've ever done. I remember watching that. I was in Chicago at the time for All Out, and just it was a time when WWE was actually pretty bad. And
it was pretty bad.
Just thinking that like this is a real like low point, but Drew's done incredibly well. I want like everything for Drew. I love Drew. And yeah, I hope he gets something really. I'd love him to just destroy John Cena, but anyway, that's probably like too far fetched. You know, but like give him something big.
Let's put that out into the universe. Like, mm-hmm. And also, I'm so sorry for bringing that up. I will never forgetting about that because they did him so dirty.
It's the level of cringe, like just the cringe of it all. I don't think you cannot build up a match to be so important in someone's home country and then have them lose and sing afterwards. Like,
and bye bye, Miss American Pie. What?
I know. I know. I think it's all like this interconnected web, pie, muffins, all of it. Steam, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, there's something. There's something in the air. All right. Next up, we have a singles match between Pat McAfee and Gunther. Wow. Okay, you look like you're not into this. Is it because Gunther is having to wrestle Pat McAfee? What are your feelings?
I'm pissed off. It's I'm trying to forget that this match is happening at all. I don't want people to get me wrong. I don't know if this is a unpopular opinion or not, but I happen to like Pat McAfee. He brought a different side of Michael Cole mm-hmm. commentary, and I adore him for that alone.
Yeah.
I know Vince isn't there anymore to, you know, make Michael Cole say and be stupid on commentary. Yeah. Like let's face it. I know he's not there anymore, but I love Pat for lighting the fire back into mm-hmm. Michael Cole so he can fall back in love with his job once again. And I adore Pat when he was in NXT. I love his work with the Undisputed Era. That was awesome. I remember watching him in the ring and going, why is he good?
Yeah.
I had no idea what to expect at all. Now I do. But it's Gunther. Mm. And I have been so mad at the way that Gunther was booked. His IC title reign was a thing of beauty, and his World Heavyweight Championship title reign was not. I don't know what went wrong. I'm starting to miss Walter once again, because when he was, you know, back in the day, he was Walter. He was this unbeatable force on the indies, on NXT UK. I liked how the only people that were able to climb the mountain that was Walter were Ilya Dragunov and Bron Breakker. Those were the two people. Mm-hmm. And I will always be biased when it comes to Gunther / Walter, because I miss NXT UK so much. And everyone that came out of that program, Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate is one of my all-time favorite wrestlers. And he's not even on television. Like Walter versus Tyler Bate from NXT Cardiff was one of the best matches I've ever seen. And I miss that presentation for Gunther. And ever since he got beaten by Sammy, it's as if something happened. And they were trying to babyface the guy, but then he wasn't a babyface. And then he started doing all these goofy shit, trying to sneak up on people backstage while they're 10 feet away from the guy. And, you know, it's something got ruined with Gunther. And I hate it. And if this match isn't a total squash, I'm breaking my television. It's just, that's, I feel like that's the only way that this can be justified. I mean, just having fucking murdered, I'm sorry for swearing, but it's, I'm so.
You can swear, it's fine. Let it all out. Let it all out. It's a safe space.
It's thank you so much. I'm not used to being on the main Fightful channel, and I'm trying to keep it clean.
It's fine. It's fucking awesome here.
It's yes, yeah. It's Rob mentioned that in his opinion, this is a way for them to write off Pat McAfee from the show.
Okay.
Yeah, and just murder him. And then he's lost forever. Like, well, not forever, but like for a while. I let him get in some, you know, stuff. But let this, I'm sorry for mentioning the guy, but let this be Brock Lesnar and Cena. Right, let this be this. And I hope I never get to mention that jerk ever again. But like, this is, I'm gonna pick Gunther. And if it's not Gunther, holy mother of fucking God, am I gonna be so pissed off at this? Because tell me why, and I know why. But like, Pat McAfee versus Logan Paul is gonna be extremely entertaining. But I know that the both of them need ring generals to guide them through, you know, the match. I understand that. But this would be a match that 100% will be way more, you know, entertaining for me, because I would hope that Pat McAfee kills Logan Paul. And, you know, in that point of view, why aren't we getting Gunther versus Logan Paul? Because, you know, lift the ring and drop it off on top of Logan Paul's head, and that's entertaining for me. I don't know, but it is what it is. I understand, you know, the shock value of the match itself. I get it, because Pat McAfee has this thing where he can have the audience in his hands. I understand that. I like the guy. I want to underline this. I like the guy, but it's Gunther. And all, are you so passionate about the match itself, or do you just not care?
I feel like, so firstly, I did like Pat a lot when he started, and definitely he like basically changed how they do commentary because of what he brought out with Michael Cole, like a combination of Pat being there and Vince being gone. Like, Michael Cole is like a lot better to listen to now. So I like him for that. I think this match, firstly, I think, so I've been a fan of Gunther for a long time, like yourself when he was Walter. And he seems to be like really up for anything creatively, in a way that maybe he shouldn't be up for, like, absolutely everything, because sometimes the booking of him and presentation of him has been a little shaky. I think that they've gone a bit too far with his showing weakness. And, you know, you mentioned Brock Lesnar, who, you know, we never like mentioning, but just to use an example, like, Brock, like, the presentation of Brock was always really good and always really strong. And that's something I would like to see more with Gunther, more him modeled on rather than them showing these little dents. Like Ilya, yes, that was like a long running program and it made sense. And it made sense with Sammy too. But it was kind of with him losing to Jey Uso, you know, he had to.
In the way that he did.
Yeah, in the way that he did was more problematic than the fact that he lost, because unfortunately he had to lose, or Jey, as they said on the channel, like Jey would have just looked like an idiot if he lost because there was so much, you know, put into him. But I think the angle that Gunther did with Pat and Michael Cole to set this all up, I thought that was so well done. I thought everyone was really good in it, especially Joe. I can never get his name right. Joe Tessitore. Yeah, he was super good in that. I really like him. I like him a lot. I would like him to narrate and give commentary on everything. He's just got that voice. But that was all really well done. And I think what they did on Raw this week was well done as well. But I just feel like, yeah, it's Gunther. It's Gunther facing Pat McAfee. And I know people want it to be a squash. I'm not sure that it will be. I can see Pat trying to pull out like all the moves that he can, because he was impressive in his match with Adam Cole, but that was a lot has happened since his match with Adam Cole. But he was impressive there. But I just wonder if it's going to be like one of these matches where, like, you know, all Pat's crew gets involved to help and stuff like that. And which would make Gunther look like a monster if you need that many people. But I hope it's over quick. I think Gunther's going to win. I hope Gunther's going to win. I think that they're going to have trouble on their hands if Gunther doesn't win. But I also kind of wonder what's the greater purpose. So maybe Rob is correct that Pat's going to take time off or whatever. I don't know about football schedules, but like, who knows what he's doing, because he seemed to do so many things. A lot of people have been talking about Goldberg. Do you have any thoughts on Goldberg coming in? Is this all to get us to Goldberg?
I have zero interest in Goldberg being back. Listen, if maybe this is because I have such a high bar when it comes to Gunther. Mm-hmm. And he isn't, just so you guys know, he's not my favorite wrestler. I just think that he should be built as the best wrestler that they have. Yeah. That's it, like in my eyes. So again, if it's no, Corey said this on our show last week too.
Corey says we should form a tag team as Guntberg.
No, like, sweetie, I love you. Don't stop doing that. Like, you're gonna make a thing. Don't try to make this into a thing. Let's not have that. So, I didn't watch Goldberg when he was a part of WCW. I have zero emotional investment when it comes to Goldberg. Mm-hmm. And when he came and people were like, oh yes, like Goldberg's here, and I'm like, okay, let's see what the fuss is about, and it was nothing. And I just and like he I just be if he has to come back in the ring, I just hope that both of the wrestlers are safe. And it's Goldberg, so it will have to be a squash, because he cannot go in the ring anymore. And if this is probably the only way you can, because Goldberg is still thought of as this, you know, huge power, you know, that he will be able to build up Gunther back into, yeah, you know, the thing that he was. So if Gunther is able to squash the guy, and this is the only way you can push him back to the top, okay. But otherwise, fuck no. Jesus. Why?
So I did live through Goldberg in WCW. I've lived through Goldberg's whole career, and I have no interest in him coming back, like, to do anything, even if it's just one match, a retirement match, whatever. I have no interest in nostalgia. I think the only person that got me was Sting, and Goldberg is not Sting, but I have no interest in that sort of thing. To me, it's not like a dream match or anything like that. I think just anytime there's a guy who's big, whether it's Gunther, whether it's Brock Lesnar, whether it's whoever, people are like, what if they fought Goldberg? But unfortunately, Goldberg is a lot older than them. Like, you know, you hear it with Braun Breaker too, for an even younger example. I don't care about Goldberg. Like, sorry, everyone, but I have lived his whole career, and, you know, he was fine. I was gonna say that he did one move well, but he didn't even do that very well. He injured a lot of people.
He did
with his spears. So not interested in Goldberg. I think, though, for the fans in attendance at St. Louis, and if anyone is watching is going to the show, have a great time. I think if Goldberg comes, there'll be a big pop. So I think that's very, you know, fun for everyone in attendance, but it's not going to make me feel any happier about Gunther's direction. And I would, if he has to have a match with Goldberg, I hope he squashes Goldberg too. So, yeah, I hope that when Gunther gets out of this, we can get him into, like, a really good storyline with a really good opponent, that he can dominate, and we don't have to feel worried about Gunther anymore.
Honestly, it's like, initially, I wanted Gunther to be the one to beat Cena.
Mm-hmm.
And just ride him off into the sunset and everything. But if you think about it, Goldberg didn't want to lose to The Fiend because it will set a bad example for the children. And now, and that's a thing, guys, I'm not making that up. That's legitimately what he said.
I remember when Goldberg beat The Fiend.
Yeah, I do not want to remember that myself.
No.
But and The Fiend was ridiculously over. Everyone adored Bray Wyatt. And now, imagine him being okay with losing to the foreign guy.
Mm-hmm.
So in my eyes, there will always be this lingering thought of Goldberg's winning. Goldberg's winning. And if Goldberg beats Gunther, I'm so fucking done, man.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the problem with any legend coming in. But with Goldberg, I don't think he's ever been the smartest guy to the business, really. So it wouldn't surprise me. And, like, The Fiend thing was particularly bad. There's been other times, like, he took the title off Kevin Owens once when Kevin Owens should have had it going into the Is that another bad memory unlocked?
Oh. Okay, so I had this coming because I reminded you of the drill sing-along, and you reminded me. Okay, so we're even now. Oh my God, I hated that. So hated that.
That was bad. Okay, guys, I hope that Gunther beats Pat McAfee, and I hope it's short. And then whatever's coming, we will deal with when we get to it. Okay, let's talk about something more positive. Lyra Valkyria versus Becky Lynch for the Women's Intercontinental Championship. Maggie, you seem excited for this one. Why don't you take this one? Who have you got?
I think Becky's winning. And I don't know if this is a right decision or not, but I am going to see how they play it out after that. I do see Lyra winning the championship back at SummerSlam, let's say. But I love Lyra. And I do feel like I need to teach Sean how to say her last name correctly because he's pissing me off. He says Valkyria, and I'm like, it's Valkyria. What? It's not that hard. Come
he's
on.
Lucky she's still not called Aoife. Anyway.
Yes. So again, one of the people that came out of NXT UK. So again, I will be biased forever when it comes to that show. It's when she got called up to the main roster and they paired her with Becky a lot and they were doing things in NXT too. It seemed like they were pushing Lyra right out of the gateway. And I was happy because it's Lyra. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they needed help when it came to the women's division. But then Becky went away and they forgot that Lyra existed. Mm-hmm. And the stupid thing was that I totally saw it coming, and so did everyone who watched wrestling. And I was happy that she won the IC title. I hope that they gave it to Dakota Kai.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look where this ended up, you know?
Yeah.
Dakota's not even there anymore. And immediately when Becky came back, because this was kind of weird, I hated the fact that the women's tag team championships were once again used as a prop to push something else.
Yeah, just a little plot device. Yeah.
Yeah, a plot device. And I'm not a fan of that. And now one of the tag team champions isn't on the show anymore because she's doing a film. I hope that she comes back, you know, in time and she's not, you know, absent for months.
Yeah.
So it's immediately when Becky came back, they put her in the storyline with Lyra. So they won the championships and then they lost them the very next night. And again, a bit weird, but Becky immediately lit up after that. She attacked Lyra. So she attacked Lyra with a simple clothesline, correct? And then they had Lyra laying on the floor crying. And she wasn't legitimately crying, but like she looked at Becky shockingly. And then she just lay it on the ground and Becky was in her face. And they kind of made Lyra look like a dope here. And I'm glad that she climbed back immediately because the next two promos that she had were really good. Mm-hmm. Because she was like, I'm looking forward to proving that I'm the better champion because I'm the better woman because I already know that I'm the better wrestler. Thank you. Because she legitimately got, you know, the fire lit up under her because before that she had zero personality. She was like the, you know, the woman with the big ass hair, man, because where do you get that hair from?
And the like, bird, it was all the bird thing. Oh,
yeah. And you really know, the bird like the thing. And you know, I'm glad that the audience caught up from, you know, the performance center doing the woo with her. That's good. But she lacked personality. She had zero personality to her. And I'm glad that apparently she feels comfortable enough working with Becky that she can, you know, do her thing on the microphone and, you know, everything. So I'm looking forward to this match because Becky has this thing. I know it was a part of the promo. Lyra said that the locker room warned her about Becky stepping on her to get ahead. And I, of course, this is going to be a part of the, you know, of the storyline because I adored the matches Becky had in NXT versus Tiffany.
Yes.
And the matches she had with Lyra too. So Becky has that thing when she, even when she beats the wrestler, she has that thing where she gets everything out of them and she elevates the women and she brings out the best in them. And they're going to take care of each other in that match. I'm so sure. I'm looking forward to it. I hope that it's something good. And the thing is, I know that they're going to pull back because they're going to have the the legitimate match at SummerSlam, I would suppose, which will be a coming out party for Lyra. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I think that Becky is one of the smartest wrestlers that WWE has. And I think that she has a great insight when it comes to creative. I think sometimes you're given stuff that's not great or downright bad. And I think she finds a way to make the best of it. So I think with Lyra, you know, the coming back, them teaming for a night, and then the next night it all falls apart. Maybe not the best writing, but I know that Becky will be able to get something great out of it. And I think that we've seen Lyra finally find her personality in these past couple of weeks, moving away from just being the Irish lady with the wings. And I will say, awesome that two Irish women like myself, two of my country women, are having a match on the show is very cool. But I think that Becky probably, because she's so smart, realizes that when her and Lyra were together before, that Lyra kind of seemed like a bit of a fangirl, sop type, almost pathetic, you know, type person. And I think that Becky will see this storyline as a way to like draw Lyra into like fully realizing all her potential and becoming her own woman. So I think it makes sense if Becky does beat her now, which I think kind of has to be done because Becky's just turned and it's such a strong character. And I think that probably at SummerSlam, Lyra will get her revenge because she will have found like that she can be better than Becky and stop like idolizing her and get ready to take over her. And Becky, like you said, she was great in NXT. She's great with working with young talent. Lyra, Tiffany, much better than other people are with building up, you know, the rest of the roster. And I'd love to see her work with someone like Roxanne and stuff too on the main roster. I'd love to see her do something like that. But I think she's been great. I'll never not love Becky, no matter what her creative is. And I always have a soft spot for Lyra. And yeah, I think it's going to be a good match as well. I do, because I didn't think the Mania match was that good, the tag match, but I thought the match on Raw was awesome. Loved that. Raquel and Liv were great. So I'm looking forward to this. This is my main event. And I think Becky's winning. Yeah. And hello to SP3 who is watching us. Hello, SP3.
SP3, I'll see you Friday.
SP3, you're definitely one of my favorite people in wrestling media and always a great
absolutely. SP3 and I's rants line up, so we're a perfect match when it comes to predictions.
Yeah. SP3 can do a rant for sure. He has some of the best rants in the game.
My favorite. He's so passionate.
He is so passionate, but also so knowledgeable. We were talking about SB3 before we went live, so he must have known that. All positive, Sid. were talking about how knowledgeable we thought you were and how much we love working with you. So it's lovely to see you on here. Are you ready for the main event of WWE Backlash? This is for the undisputed WWE Championship. It's John Cena versus Randy Orton. I'll just say, don't care about it. I don't care about this match. I've said this before. It's like I've been bored of Randy Orton since probably day two of his career. Another person I've watched the entire career of, and never really got into him. But it's certainly gotten worse. I get putting him in this spot because he's a hometown guy. But John Cena and Randy Orton standing in a ring together reminds me of some of like the worst times in wrestling when you were just watching out of habit rather than there being anything good going on. Like they both to me symbolize an era that I did not enjoy. Cena and Cody, I truly shit the bed, I thought, at WrestleMania, which doesn't make me feel positive about what this is gonna be, because I think I said this on the mini prediction. I thought Cena and Punk, when they were in the Elimination Chamber together, had like chemistry. And I was like, well, obviously I'm going to say Punk's the guy, but he does bring something good out of John. I cannot see Randy being able to bring something good out of John. I don't think Cody was able to bring something good out of John. I think this is a match where I'm more just waiting for it to be over to see if anything else happens. Obviously, I think John Cena is going to win, but I can't be positive about it. I don't have investment in Randy Orton. I don't even have investment in John Cena, but I'm also waiting always to see what crazy thing could happen next after what didn't happen at Mania and the fallout, passing the buck blame game going on in the media over that. I think is way more interesting than any John Cena wrestling match. So for me, John Cena wins and definitely not going to be match of the night. How about you, man? Anything more positive? I hate not being positive, but yeah.
I have zero positive stuff to say about this match. Okay. Listen, it's like I share your opinion. I'm so sorry. I desperately wanted to like this match, to look forward to this match, but I'm really not. I've said this on our show too. I never got Randy. He's mm-hmm. not. I definitely understand why people like the guy. I mean, he looks like money. All of his moves, all the moveset that he has, he can execute perfectly. Yes. And that's good, you know, but like, it's not my type of wrestling. I'm not a fan of the slow, methodical thing that he. I'm just not mm-hmm. not a fan, and I'm not saying that I enjoy the ridiculous, you know, styles and fast paced lucha libre stuff. That's not me for me either. Mm-hmm. I like the in between stuff. You know, balances yeah. everything for me, and. When you have the slow, methodical pace that Randy Orton has and the heel John Cena that is moving yeah. like a fucking caterpillar, man, in the ring, like, what do you, like...
He's got lead in his jorts, man.
I'm sure that I will be making breakfast and tea and the morning crap that I have after the tea or coffee, and the match will be still going on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it will not be as entertaining as me drinking tea. I really want to like this match. And I'm sure that the only way I'm going to like this match will be the audience yeah. cheering for Randy Orton. And that is the
and
only
I hope
thing.
They do cheer for Randy. I hope it's not a kind of split Mania style situation. I hope they do get behind him.
Exactly. And we did mention last year's Backlash when the artist started, mm-hmm. you know, singing Randy Orton's theme. Yeah. And I'm still puzzled as to why did it take us 2 decades to do this. And I mentioned this to Rob. Again, I'm not a Randy Orton fan, but if I ever get to watch Randy Orton wrestle live,
yeah,
I'm singing that song. Yeah. And like,
it is a great sing-along song.
It is a great sing-along song. I never sang Judas every time Chris Jericho came out because fuck that. But I will be singing fuck that. But I will be singing Randy Orton's, you know, theme song. There's no way Cena loses this match.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is the thing, that almost all of these matches are terribly predictable. But again, I feel like, you know, all the pay-per-views after WrestleMania leading to SummerSlam are a total snooze fest. And it's not their fault. It's like they don't give a yeah. crap themselves about, you know, everything that happens between SummerSlam and WrestleMania and SummerSlam.
Yeah.
But again, it's never the wrestler's fault. The wrestlers do their best with what they're given.
For sure.
But yes, my main event will definitely be Becky Lyra.
Do you think anything noteworthy will happen at the end of this match? I know people in the chat are talking about R-Truth. I know people desperately want to see John Cena beat up R-Truth as, you know, like the culmination of everything there. I couldn't care less about that either. I think if he's going to beat up R-Truth, I'd rather see it just happen on a Raw. It doesn't feel like an end to a pay-per-view. But yeah, do you have any thoughts of what might happen at the end of the match, or will we all just go home after John Cena holds up the title again?
I so do not care, man. I do agree that this is an amazing segment to end the Raw.
Yeah,
like the crowd booing because this is the best way for the people, because a lot of people are cheering John Cena still, and they're not mm-hmm. supposed to.
That's like, what happens when you finally get something that you've waited on for so long. It was, I think, with John turning heel, because for so long everyone was like, John Cena should turn heel. John Cena's never turning heel. And then finally getting it just makes people cheer that. Like, they appreciate that it happened. And it makes me feel like this is why, when you make the big, huge, groundbreaking decision to turn John Cena heel, you need to have some really good, solid storylines, you know, plans and everything. And I'm not sure that the build to WrestleMania that was taken into account. I think, you know, you cannot just go into it being like, well, they're going to boo Cena heel because they've always wanted Cena heel. No, they're going to enjoy seeing something new from a guy that's been the same old robot for over 10 years. And you know, I did feel sorry for Cody quite a lot when in the run-up to Mania and in Mania. And then that match wasn't good. And then all the kind of controversy from it, whoever's to blame, it doesn't really matter. Like, it just wasn't a good job. The Travis Scott stuff was terrible, all of that. And then, you know, Cena has limited dates, and he's doing a countdown for us, so we know that. And I completely understand making Randy Orton his opponent because it's in Randy's hometown. And then there is also the nostalgia of Cena and Randy Orton. But at the same time, I think I probably would have liked someone different, completely different, you know, throwing at this guy since we have so a few dates with him left, and maybe something that we could get some kind of good story out of, other than, you know, they're both old, and one of them happens to be from St. Louis.
I've been an advocate for this because I love Carmelo Hayes so much, mm-hmm. and he was the only reason why I enjoyed NXT 2.0. The only reason. Okay. And seeing he's also from Boston,
mm-hmm.
I can see if I don't get John Cena versus Carmelo Hayes, I'm gonna be so pissed. And no, I don't think we are gonna get Carmelo mm-hmm. Hayes versus. I'm being realistic here. I don't think there's any chance of that happening. But it would have been a wonderful thing, because I'm sure that John Cena would win that match, but just elevate the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Just elevate him.
Who do you think Cena's SummerSlam opponent is going to be?
Hopefully not Cody.
No.
Listen, I like Cody. But his title reign was so dull, man. I
gotta say, like, I liked it. Like, I am a Cody girl. I think what I liked about it was, you know, having that baby face like Cody, almost like an old school baby face. He was like having that face of the company guy, which is something I think that they've failed on having for decades, really, because Cena was so divisive, that I thought Cody, you know, did such a good job. He didn't have the best feuds, but, and it always felt like you know, you were waiting for Mania. Like, you know, everything was just tiding him over till Mania. And that's before we even knew what John Cena was going to do, but with all the stuff they set up and then dismantled, but all of it. But yeah, I liked Cody, but I think he needs to find another a path right now while Cena's going through this. I wouldn't do him at SummerSlam. I think for SummerSlam, I don't know, maybe something like out there, like imagine if Drew McIntyre just came back at the end of the show and was like, fuck it, I'm still not got any respect, and just absolutely murdered John Cena, like he got his sword back and he just took out like John Cena. Because like ultimately I want Punk to be the one that takes Cena out for good, and if anyone's going to do it, I want it to be him, if they're not going to give it to like a young guy. But yeah, and I do not expect Dwayne to turn up or anything like that.
No, hell no. Like, he didn't come for WrestleMania. Yeah. Like, he's not showing up in St. Louis. Just no. I can definitely see if Goldberg isn't in a picture, which fingers crossed, I can see Gunther, you know, going head to head with Cena, but that will mean he's going to have to lose. Yeah. But in the long run, I kind of feel like Seth should be the one to take Cena's title, and then Seth and Braun Breaker can fight for the championship on next year's WrestleMania. I can see that.
I can see it, but I don't want it to be Seth, because I'm just not like a Seth Rollins, you know.
Oh, I'm a Seth girly, man. I adore Seth.
Oh, like, no, this is what we're gonna have to fight on. No, Seth is not for me. Seth is not for me.
I understand.
I think I'm interested in Seth's current storyline. I'll say that, like, that, you know, that has been interesting, and but I'm not interested in what's going on with Cena right now. It's a hard one. And yeah. I would love to see Cena Gunther. That's definitely Gunther would be on my list of people I would like to see Cena have a match with, but I don't want to see Gunther lose, and I don't think they're ready to give him, you know, all of that.
I don't want him to lose ever, so we can agree upon that.
That's true. We'll ignore the Seth stuff and just focus on all the other things that we've agreed on.
Yes, let's do that.
Okay, that was Backlash. Any final thoughts on Backlash? I hope everyone has fun watching it, and everyone that's going enjoys it as well.
Shows like this always kind of deliver for me. That's why, like, I'm not excited, you know, in any way, but like they end up being an awesome watch. So
at least they're short, easy watch, not too taxing. But yeah, keep your expectations low and you will have them exceed it, and that's how you should go by life, guys.
Yes, exactly. Like in relationships.
My expectations were low here, because I thought we'd only go about 30 minutes, and we've now gone an hour six. Can you believe it?
We talked about Daria a lot. So like,
we did talk about Daria. We did. But it's been so much fun having you, Maggie. That was such a great conversation. It went twice as long as I thought it would be. And that's a good thing, because we had so much to say. Please tell everyone where they can find you and watch you more, and all about your show with Rob on Fightful.
So Rob Wilkins and I have a show called Coexisting with Rob and Maggie that airs every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Fightful Overbook. A bunch of shenanigans. Like, we do not take things seriously whatsoever. It's so much fuckery that you have no idea. So also, Rob and I are so awkward together, and the dynamic is real. I'm so in love with everything that we've done. Coexisting is our baby. Mm-hmm. And like, we've built such a wonderful community in the coexisting community, that everyone's so awesome in the chat. And like, I thank you so much for all of our support. Also, every time there's a premium live event, a pay-per-view, or, you know, anything whatsoever, SP3 and I do predictions on the True Heel Heat channel.
Nice.
My favorites, man. My favorites. Like, usually I did all of WWE's predictions with him. Mm-hmm. But because of popular demand, people wanted me on the show. So, like, SP3 and I have a wonderful dynamic. Again, our rants align.
Yeah.
So much. And I'm always learning new stuff with SP3, and I'm like, he has no right to like remember all of these things, man. Like,
such memory.
Like, why do you have any free space?
He's
in
like
your mind.
He's got a computer in there with everyone.
Yeah.
It's like Tony Khan levels.
Exactly. Like, do you remember, you know, your family's birthdays, like important stuff that you have to go through in the day? Or is it just wrestling in your head? This is, you know, what the hell?
Is so, yes, pro wrestling wiki just SP3's brain?
Exactly. Like him, Sean, Jeremy. Oh my God. Jeremy is you know, Joel Pearl. What are you guys doing? Like, what are you drinking? What is that memory? Like, I don't even remember if I ate today or not. It's a wonderful thing to have.
I didn't remember that I had been to St. Louis.
Exactly. You needed to check.
I needed if to you check. Remember,
if you were ever in St. Louis. So yes, I praise these sort of people because I'm able to learn from them so much. Mm-hmm. I adore every time I'm on screen with SP3, and I cherish all of these moments. Apart from that, guys, the regulars, you can follow me on Twix or Twitter or X or whatever you guys want to call it, at Maggie_IK, on Instagram at Maggie.IK, and on Blue Sky, if you guys do that, at Maggie-IK. The other thing that I'm going to plug just real quick, my sister has a YouTube channel that is all about plants.
Wow.
She takes care of plants and everything. And yesterday we did a collaborative video in which will be up on her YouTube channel. It's Daphne Tries Plants. This is her handle. And yes, it's I know nothing about plants. Guys, we had so much fun. I am such a goof. You have no idea. I watched the video back and she has some editing to do because I don't think she can put any of that on the channel because it's me. It's me. We had so much fun. It will be up. I will be sharing it on all of my social medias. But sweetie, thank you so much for having me on. This was such a blast. I've wanted for us to, you know, to do predictions for like about a year now. And I'm so glad that we were finally able to do that.
I promise I will have you on again very soon. Maybe join me for an AEW one before the end of the year and we'll get both in.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Definitely.
I'm bummed out that I will not be attending Forbidden Door this year.
I don't think I will be either. Yeah. It's in end of August, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the same time as All In. It's mm-hmm. During, you know, the ridiculous bank holidays that you know are happening in England, and that's pissing me off because the plane tickets are 10 times more expensive.
Yeah.
So,
and the hotels plus that.
Hotels and everything, and that is a bit much for me. So, yeah. I will not be attending, sadly, but hopefully next year.
Mhm. Hopefully. Yes. All right, guys, thank you so much for watching. You can follow me on social media at Stephanie M. Chias on Instagram, X, and Substack as well. Go subscribe to me there and on YouTube too. And yeah, Maggie, thank you so much. And I hope we get to talk about Daria one day too.
Oh, yes, definitely. Daria, just guys, don't watch Backlash. Just watch Daria.
Definitely watch Daria if you've never seen it.
It's going to be so much better.
Bye, everyone.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tantandia products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.